Thanks, Whitney. That story ties directly to one of the verses that I wanted to share on today. Maybe we'll just pray to start. Father, just thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. I pray that what I share would be a blessing, Lord, that the parts that are to exhort and challenge would serve that purpose, but also there would be hope and encouragement and faith mixed in with it as well, Father. Amen. Been reading through the story of Abraham, just the first start of it, and was reading through the testimony of what happened with Lot, and then thinking about some of the other tests that Abraham went through in his life, and it was just reminding me of a common exhortation we have from Jesus in the Gospels. So let's maybe start in Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 8, it says, "So Abraham said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left.' Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abraham settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord." And I'm going to keep reading and touch on some more what happens to this story, but the part that was speaking to me through this and just a reminder was just the exhortation that Jesus gives about seeking to save our lives and losing it, and being willing to lose our lives and finding it. And I know it seems obvious, but it was just kind of fresh to me. Like, I'm going to read some of the verses from the Gospels, but it just, what we see here is a decision needed to be made. There was this strife between Abraham and Lot. And right from the start, Abraham had kind of purposed that he wasn't going to seek his own in this. Like, he gave Lot the choice. And in choosing, Lot chose what seemed best to him. He chose this well-watered land. But I finished with the verse in 13 about the men of Sodom and how wicked they were, because I think it was, I don't know, like, we don't know for sure, but I'm not sure Lot was surprised when he got to Sodom and found the men to be sinners. I think it may have been known to him already that it was a very wicked area. The land was good, but the place was full of men who were committing all sorts of sin. But Lot chose what seemed best to him financially, what seemed best to him. Maybe he thought you can speculate, maybe he thought it was for the sake of his family to have a little more wealth. Maybe he couldn't quite see how he was going to take care of people if he didn't go down there. I don't know what all drove that decision, other than clearly he saw the land was good and chose it. But in that, we know the outcome, right? Like, we know in what Lot chose, in the end, he lost everything, right? Like, it's so applicable to what Jesus says about seeking to save our lives and losing it. Because at the end of the day, what did Lot come out of Sodom with? What did Lot come out of this choice with? He lost his wife. He lost all his possessions. He came out with some of his daughters, and in the end of the day, even they seem to have been so corrupted by the wickedness around them that they were making bad decisions even after they came out. We know that Lot was a righteous man. It says that in Peter, and that he was tormented by all this, but I just see such a clear picture of seeking to save his life, seeking what seems good for the here and now, and ultimately losing everything in the end because of it. And it was just reminding me, let's turn to some of the verses that I was thinking of. Maybe the first one we can turn to is in John. Actually, let's turn to Luke first. Let's go to Luke chapter 9 first. So Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. A verse I think we all know, but I think it's good to be reminded of. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake is the one who saves it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" I just think that even verse 25 kind of gives us some indication of some of the ways that we're going to be called to take up our cross and lose our life, to be willing to say what is gain for the here and now, I'm willing to forsake that for the true riches that Christ promises. And I think if we look at the story of Lot, I was kind of reflecting on this, and if you look at the story of Lot, I think it can help us, even in my own personal experience of, like, what does it mean to take up a cross? What does it mean to be willing to die to myself? And if we look at the story of Lot and Abraham, what's the genesis? Where does it start? And it starts in a conflict. It starts in a conflict between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. There's a tension that's there, and ultimately it kind of bubbles up to between, I don't say that there's a conflict between Abraham and Lot, and it's maybe because of the way Abraham handled it, but there was a tension and a conflict there, and I was reflecting on that in my own life. I was sort of seeing, like, it says we need to take up our cross daily. And I kind of was like, and I listened to a message recently that kind of exhorted, it was particularly to elders, but I think it can be to all of us, like, to kind of look and maybe reflect on our days and say, did I take up my cross today? Did I come to a place where I chose to deny myself and take up my cross? And in some senses, that exhortation, it can bring a little confusion if it's not mixed with faith and truth. Like, it can almost produce a legalism where anything, and I think many of us in our lives have even actually maybe experienced this if we've been sincere in our walk, where it's like, anything I want to do must be wrong. And it's human reasoning and logic, because it's, if I want to do it, it's my will, therefore it needs to encounter the cross and be put to death. And it can seem logical because we know we need to die to our own will, but it actually produces death. It doesn't produce life, because it's in human reasoning and human logic, and you're left making decisions about, well, I want to do it, therefore I can't do it. But the story of Lot and Abraham, in my own experience, I think actually does give us a little more insight into some of the ways we can grow in our walk in this, because it starts with a conflict. It starts with a place where God has manifested a decision. God has manifested a place where my will is now coming into conflict with something around me. And I think oftentimes as I look at my days, and I've been learning even recently, that this is where taking up the cross can be manifest. And I'm going to share a few things about maybe maturing even beyond that, but in our path to maturity, I think God allows situations that come in our day where our will comes into conflict with things around us that could potentially be a blessing to others. Like, even a very simple one is, like, how am I going to conduct my day? Sometimes we have all our plans and all our things we want to do, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the day, someone else's need gets in the way of our plan for the day. And I think if I asked, like, every adult in the room would raise their hand on this, and many of the young people too. Like, it's such a common experience where we set a course and we got a plan for our day, but all of a sudden there's a need around us. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, speaks quietly saying, like, this is a chance to take up your cross. You need to deny your will now for the sake of someone else around you, for the sake of a need you see around you, whether it's your family or someone else that the Lord brings across your path. And that, to me, is how we can start to learn to take up our cross daily. It's not necessarily in massive, grand sacrifices that we make for God, but it's in the daily sacrifices that say, where God allows it to say, my will has come into conflict with a better plan that God has for me. And that's where you're seeking to gain. Like, you might want to seek to do your own, there might be seem to be a gain in getting things done or whatever it is that is your priority, but we have to sacrifice that and say, you know what, God? I think this is a situation where you're calling me to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. And that's why I like in Luke that he says daily, because I think these opportunities come daily. Some days they may be more significant and require more suffering, and other days they just may be minor things. But in my own heart, that was a challenge and exhortation given to me to say, look back on your days. Do you see any point where the cross came and was in conflict with your own will, and what choice did you make in that? And I think that that's an okay exhortation. I don't want to put a yoke on anybody here that makes you take a burden that's unnecessary from this, but I think it's an okay challenge, if it's not every day, to reflect from time to time and say, God, am I seeing the opportunities? Am I seeing the places where you're asking me to take up my cross, and am I doing it? Am I willing to do it? And I find sometimes, even in my own life, I can get confused and a little bit distracted by massive decisions and miss the daily walk that Jesus is calling me to and the exhortation that comes. It says, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Let's turn to Luke chapter 14. And I was going to say, actually, I think even though this might be a common passage, I heard it once said, I haven't checked it for myself, you can check it for yourself, but I heard it once said that this truth, this exhortation or this concept of taking up our cross and seeking to save our lives and losing it, but willing to lose our life and finding it, is the most common or most repeated truth in all of the Gospels. I looked at it this morning, and I could see it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. There may be more. But it's like, if we think about that, like, if what was the thing that the Holy Spirit prompted Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to write the most, this is it. This is it. So I think it's okay for us to spend some time focusing and thinking about it and thinking about it often. In Luke chapter 14... verse 26. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And this is said a number of different ways throughout the Gospels, and I think I remember Tim probably shared on this verse not much more than a couple months ago. But I guess the one thing that stood out to me today a little bit more was just in verse 25, where in Luke's Gospel, it says that we need to hate even our own life. And I guess that was in my heart today because it's sort of the root of being willing to lose our life. And I think if we think about that, like, we know Jesus isn't asking us to have a miserable existence where we're hating our time here. He's given us many things to richly enjoy. He's given us joy and peace and love. So it's not like this is a hatred that produces a misery or a long face. But when I read that about hating my own life, it reminds me of just what I shared at the beginning about taking up our cross, like being willing to say when the decision comes, when our will and our desires for whatever it may be, come into conflict with where God is asking us to make a decision of sacrifice. That's where I understand it is hating our own life, to be willing to say, I hate that which is in opposition to what God has for me today. And coming to a place by faith where we say, I hate that. Not because it's not there, not denying it, not because it's easy, but saying it because, you know what? It's in conflict with what God would have of me. It's in conflict with the cross, which is asking for sacrifice at this moment. Therefore, I hate it. And I do not want it to have priority or authority in my life. And I was thinking about it, like, part of the reason we can hate it, I mean, there's multiple reasons we can have that hatred, and one is just because Jesus commanded it. It's instructed and given to us. But the other is because if you think of what Lot had, right? Like, if Lot looks back and looks at his decision regarding what he chose, do you not think he would say, I hate that decision. I hate that I chose Sodom and the Fertile Valley. I hate it. Because look what it cost him. It cost him everything. And I just think that for myself, like, if I can grow in understanding the goodness that God has for me and the blessing it is to live a life where we find that life that is in Jesus Christ, where we're not seeking to find a life by preserving and grasping after what we want, but we're willing to find life by having open hands and saying, God, I want this, but you have something better for me, so I'm going to choose to deny myself by faith and pursue the way you're leading me. And we find that life that is in Christ, I think we can come to a place where maybe we can have a little bit more of this hatred of our own life, which is not, like I said at the start, not a hatred of the path or what God's brought, but rather a hatred for that self-will that wants to choose a path that is contrary to what God has for us, wants to choose a path based on selfishness, based on choosing what seems good now, even if it comes at the cost, knowing it comes at a cost of a later compromise or taking us away from what God has for us. And I think that's where we can begin to understand what it means to hate our own life. Let's turn to John chapter 12. Start to see a little bit more of the promise here. In John chapter 12, we read about in verse 20, like there's some Greeks that want to see Jesus. And it comes through a few of the disciples that they want to see Jesus. And the response that Jesus gives in verse 23, it says, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. And in this passage, it's said a little differently. It doesn't explicitly say taking up our cross, but you can see the truth is it's exactly the same, right? Like, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. We know this is speaking in the first application about what Christ is going to do in dying on the cross for us and giving us the opportunity to come into the life that he has for us. But I think also it says in verse 25, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. So we know it applies to us too, right? We know that it also applies to us that we as a grain of wheat need to fall in the earth and die that we might bear fruit. And I just think that falling in the earth and dying is those opportunities to deny our own will, to take up our cross, to choose the path that doesn't necessarily offer the immediate gain, the immediate satisfaction, but rather choose to deny ourselves that we might be able to find the life that is in Christ. He who loves his life. So the contrast is loving our own life. And what does that look like? I mean, I think I've said it, but forgive me if it's repetitive, but loving our own life in this context is choosing that which satisfies us now. Filling ourselves up with everything that we enjoy, with everything that could be good for us now. And I think there's many, many decisions we can make in our lives that would reflect loving this life now. And the key is when it comes about satisfying ourselves at the cost of obedience to Jesus Christ. And God is merciful. He leads us. He helps us to mature. He shows us along the way these decisions as they come. It doesn't need to be a mystery. He can show us. If we're truly seeking to do his will, he can show us whether we're seeking and loving our own life or whether we're actually hating our life and loving the life that he offers. But it does exhort us and challenge us to say, what choice are we going to make? Are we going to choose to love our life and ultimately lose it? Or are we going to choose to hate our life in this world and keep it to life eternal? Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, the verse just after where I finished before, it says, "The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, 'Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you.'" And a couple of things from that. The first is, if you read through the story of Abraham, God gives Abraham's promises kind of in two different times or two different ways, I would say. One is kind of like in advance of a blessing, like he's telling him something is coming, like I'm going to do something for you. But the other is virtually always after Abraham makes a sacrifice or takes a decision to follow God. Like you look at this one. The other one that comes to mind and is when he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. I may read that, but there's another one there where Abraham makes a decision that pleases God. A promise from God follows after that. And I think in this context, I was reading it and kind of thinking, you know what? We can just read this story and it can just kind of be like, oh, Abraham's such a good guy. It was easy for him, and he just makes right decisions, and that's how this all went down, and how he made the good decision to let Lot choose first. But I don't know. When I was reading this after, I was kind of wondering if there was a little more dying and a little more of learning God's ways than maybe we can sometimes give credit for through this story, because immediately after Abraham makes this decision to give Lot the first choice, and Lot chooses what looks better, he gets this promise from God. And I kind of wonder if it was God kind of affirming to Abraham, you made the right choice here. You chose to trust me. You chose not to exert your own will. He could have justified it so many ways. I've heard messages that may even have been shared here before, right? Like, look at Abraham's life, right? Like, Abraham, Lot's father died when he was young. Lot's father died before his own father died. Like, he died as a relatively young person. And then, so Lot had no direct dad. And so Abraham took him under his wing. And they traveled together to Haran. And then Abraham's dad died in Haran. And God told Abraham to move on. And yet he took Lot with him again. And you just kind of think about that. Like, it would be so natural for Abraham to say, okay, Lot, like, I've supported you all these years. We're both doing well now. It's time for us to split, and I'll tell you how it's going to be. And that would seem very justified, given all that God had, or Abraham had done for Lot throughout the years. Not to mention, Lot was Abraham's nephew. They weren't equals. They weren't brothers dividing something up. Like, Abraham was the senior leader in the household. But in all of that, somehow Abraham came to the decision that he was actually going to let Lot choose. And part of me wonders if it was because God gave him wisdom as to how to avoid conflict in this thing. Maybe God gave Abraham wisdom and told him, listen, you don't want strife with your nephew. You don't want a Jacob and Esau kind of arrangement here where there's this constant strife and animosity between them. So in that, maybe God showed Abraham and said, listen, if you don't want strife, the way to that is to let Lot choose. That's the way. And Abraham might have thought, as soon as he heard that, he's like, I know what Lot's going to choose. He's going to choose the good part, and I'm giving that up. But whatever the reasoning may be, Abraham made that decision that pleased God in letting Lot choose first. And then the other reason I like this section is because of the promise that comes from it. And I just thought it was amazing. Like, I just love verse 17. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. And we definitely don't want to misinterpret that to saying, like, if we give something up, God's just going to give it back to us more full. If we make some financial sacrifice, oh, somehow we're just going to get it back with interest from God. Like, that's not the way God works, particularly in the new covenant. But what it does speak to is the fact that when Abraham was willing to let Lot choose, God actually promised him, like, Abraham, I'm going to give you so much more. You're going to get what Lot got, and you're going to get so much more. Like, walk around. Just know that I'm going to be giving all of this to you and your ancestors. And I just, for myself, took a little bit of hope or encouragement in that as we come to those places where we're called and we can feel the Holy Spirit speaking to us, saying, yeah, this is a time where I'm asking you to deny yourself, Joel. I'm asking you to take up your cross here and be willing to sacrifice. Like, we have the promise that God just says, like, there's so much more here. Like, arise, walk around, like, lift up your eyes, have some faith. I've promised you that whoever is willing to lose his life will find it. Like, have some faith. I am going to give you so much more than what you're giving up right now. So much more. I don't know, part of me, like, I think about, like, you young people. Like, it's hard when you're young. I get it, right? Like, you kind of have a vision and different decisions coming in your life, whether it be different choices about where to go and career. And one of the biggest ones is spouses. We heard about it heard a wonderful message from Vivek a few weeks ago about our spouses, right? But, like, this to me just speaks to that so clearly, right? Like, if God shows you that someone is not the person, even if there's an attraction in your heart, know that the promise of God, if we're willing to sacrifice in that, there is such a richer blessing from God to come if we're willing to say, you know what, God, I'll deny myself and sacrifice here because I trust in you. Even if I don't see it, I trust in you that you have something better for me. You have a life that is better than the one that I'm going to have by seeking to gain and chase and grab what I want now. I think that's it. Like, I think that's all I have to share on it today. It was just in my heart, and I just, for myself, I've been thinking about it lately, and it's been a bit of a wrestle, because, like, at times I get confused, and I start to, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Like, I can start to personally swing into that place where, like, everything I desire has to go to the cross, because it's my own desire, and there's an element of truth to that, but it's actually wrong. But what I do desire is to come to a place where each day, as I go through my day, my heart is sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, where it says, this is the cross, Joel. This is the cross for you, and you need to take it up and choose to do my will and not to do your own. And to then take that step by faith, because I believe the promise that there is a better life. And I think most of us have even experienced it, right? Like, I can even, like, God is so merciful, right? Like, many times, like, he doesn't have to do it. We have the promise of eternal life and the life to come. But even now, I can say there's many times I've made that decision, and the joy and the peace that comes in being willing to deny my own will. In the moment, it's difficult. But so quickly after, God gives us his joy and his peace and confirms, like, yeah, you made the right decision there. That pleased me. Just like Abraham got the promise after Lot had separated from him. It's interesting if you read that carefully. Lot separated, so it was complete. The decision had been made. There was no going back. Lot had now separated and was going to take the better part. Immediately after that, God came to Abraham and gave him the promise. And I think it can be the same today too. I don't want to say that we have to make a decision. Sometimes God works. Maybe he wants us to grow in faith a little, and we can have a time of maybe waiting and suffering in a decision before he confirms it, but he does do it. He is a good God, and he's a good father. And just like all of us, when we see our kids make a good decision, we're happy to bless them and encourage them in it, to teach them. That's how we have to grow, right? Our Father wants us to grow and to become mature. And you think of your own children. How are you going to teach them to grow and mature? You're going to discipline the bad decisions and help them to see it and confirm and encourage them in the right decisions. Say, yeah, that was good. Like, that's great. I'm so pleased with what you did there and being willing to give that to your sister or brother, or choosing not to argue back, even though I know this wasn't your first choice, what I was asking you to do. Well, our Heavenly Father is the same way. He wants to encourage us in the good decisions. He wants us to be able to see and know that in taking up our cross and being willing to deny ourselves, he is pleased, and he will bless us and help us in that, even if it's, well, it always is going to be in the inward man. Sometimes it can be outward things too, where he brings along something better. But even if in the outward and in the natural circumstances we don't necessarily see confirmation, he will always confirm it in our hearts with joy and peace, and his kingdom expanding in our hearts and growing and becoming more like Jesus.